As Jesus and the apostles prepared to make their way from the upper room in the Last Supper to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told them that he was going away. John 13, you might want to turn to John 13. Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" John 13, 36. "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Verse 37, John 13, 37. Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." The thought of Jesus leaving at this critical time, that made no sense to the apostles, because they were ready to see Jesus reigning on the throne of Israel as King, King Jesus. And so Jesus shares some comforting words with them. John 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." That word mansions, by the way, means rooms. There's plenty of room in his house, in other words. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." Doubting Thomas, maybe we're harder on him than we should be, but doubting Thomas now asks the question that all the apostles wanted answered. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" This makes sense. They simply wanted to know where Jesus was going. They wanted to know how to get there. Today, they would have said, "Give us an address. We'll put it in the GPS," right? We want to know how. We want to know where. Verse 6, Jesus is going to reply. Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, that is a wonderful passage that preachers, we just love to preach. But there's no doubt for these apostles, those words of Jesus left them scratching their heads. Why? Why was it so confusing? When it seems so straightforward to us. Look at verse 7. "If you had known me," Jesus says to them, "if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen me." Now, wait a minute. Jesus is saying, "Y'all don't know me. You don't know me." They had been at his side for the last 3 years or so, but how could they not know him? They'd been right there. It would be fascinating to have sat down with those 11 apostles. Judas Iscariot has already went to betray him. But it'd be fascinating to sit down with those apostles that night and ask them to explain exactly who Jesus really is. You remember Peter told Jesus earlier in his ministry when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke up and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," Matthew 16:16. And Peter was right. But Peter was also wrong. Why? Because Peter thought that Jesus was only an earthly king. He really didn't have a clue who Jesus really was. By the way, there's absolutely no chance for you to really follow Jesus until you know who he really is. No chance. It's interesting that as John writes his first letter, 1 John, this is the question. Who is Jesus Christ? And how can I be certain that I really know him? And here's John's answer. 1 John 2 verse 3. John writes, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him." It's fully matured in him, in other words. "By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." You might want to underline that last part. You ought to walk just as he walked. And so according to this verse, you know that you know Jesus when there's good fruit on the tree, when you're obediently following his commands. And of course that raises the question, well, come on, John, tell us, what are his commands? Let's just get it down to the nuts and the bolts. What are his commands? John didn't leave us hanging. 1 John 3, verse 23, he says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he gave us commandment." And so John is telling those first century Christians who were being beaten up by the Gnostics, by the way, and told, you don't have a relationship with God. You don't have all the secret knowledge. John is saying, look, here it is. Here's what you need to know. You need to believe with all your heart that Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be and what he claimed to be. And of course, we notice in the earlier passage, he said, you also need to walk just as he walked. In fact, when you love one another, you must love others as Jesus gave us commandment. But Jesus didn't just command us to love others. He lived it and gave us a living example of what it means to love others. Now, again, you must know how Jesus walked before you can walk just as he walked. And so this morning, we're going to attempt to just get down to where the rubber meets the road, seeking to know Jesus better, and then walk as he walked. By the way, my sermon has one point this morning. That ought to make you smile. Just one point. What is a trait of Jesus that we need to understand so that we can walk just as he walked? Well, here it is. Jesus was an humble servant. Jesus said things that had in the first century always been considered indicative of a weak person. But Jesus literally redefined what mankind must become to be strong. At the end of Matthew chapter 11 is a passage that you're all familiar with. Matthew 11 verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Now, are you carrying some burdens this morning? Are you dealing with some stuff? Well, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle." The old King James says, "For I'm meek." I'm gentle and lowly in heart. "And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I want you to notice, here's something you need to learn from Jesus. Jesus says you got to learn this. You got to learn to be gentle or meek. And you must be lowly in heart or humble. And again, these were daring words in a pagan world that considered meekness and gentleness, humbleness and gentleness. They considered it to be despicable in a leader. Meekness equaled weakness. But the full beauty of this invitation of Jesus to come unto me, the full beauty is seen only when you take it in the context of what he was talking about in Matthew 11. In fact, have you ever backed up one more verse and noticed the context of this, "Come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden"? Look at verse 27. Let's read it again and include verse 27. Jesus says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Jesus knew that no one could have a relationship with Jehovah God apart from him. And this statement was not an arrogant boast by Jesus. It was truth. And amplified Jesus' plea to come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me and I will show you the Father, in other words. Jesus came to be your humble servant. Now, try to wrap your head around that. He came to be your humble servant. No one has ever been a true servant while being filled with pride and arrogance. It can't happen. Jesus knew that everything he was, that everything he would accomplish, that everything he would teach and say, it was all from the Father, Jehovah God. He had no pride or arrogance in his life. Humble servant. That's what he was. Now, in John 13, we find one of the great examples of this. The apostles are in the upper room. Amazing things happened in that room on that evening. But one thing defined forever what it means to be an humble servant. John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father, here we go again. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, and that he was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. You have to wonder how many times these men had sat down around a table to eat with dirty feet. I'll guarantee you one thing. Their mamas had taught them better than that. They knew better. They knew how rude and unacceptable it was to walk into a house without taking your shoes off and washing your feet. You didn't walk into a house with dirty feet, much less sit down and eat with dirty feet. And understand, each one of these men could have washed his own feet. That was not uncommon. But it was uncommon for a man to sit down to eat with dirty feet, because they would recline at a very low table, and so their feet would either stick out one way or the other, and as their feet were sticking out one way or the other, those feet got up close and personal with the next person sitting beside them. And they had to deal with these nasty, stinking, dirty feet. And so what's the problem here? Why are the apostles being so rude and so crude? Why would they not wash their feet or offer to wash someone else's feet? They were not humble servants yet. I want you to notice Jesus again, verse 3. Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly where he had come from. He knew exactly why he was here on this planet. And these were the kind of things that could swell a man's head and fill his heart with arrogance and pride unless he's an humble servant whose greatest desire is to please God and be a blessing to all others simply because he loved them. No pride. No pride here. No arrogance. An humble servant's behavior will never be determined by status or by heritage. Servants understand who they are, but even more, they understand whose they are. And they serve others without fail. That's Jesus. But notice the apostles' focus was at this point was about themselves. In Luke 22, we read about Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper in verses 14 through 23. But what's really interesting is what happens in verse 24. Immediately following the Lord's Supper, verse 24, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. How would you have liked to have been a fly on the wall during that argument? You could just, in your mind's ear, you could just hear Peter and James and John saying, look, we were the inner circle. We're the ones who need to be at the right and the left. We need to be in places of prominence in the new kingdom that Jesus is going to start. And can't you just hear Peter saying, I'm demanding the top spot at the right hand of Jesus. And so what did Jesus say to them? He knows what they're thinking. He knows what they've been arguing and disputing about. And so here's the solution that Jesus provides for them. Luke 22:25. He, that's Jesus, said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship." They exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. I am the one among you who serves. Those apostles were not going to be put in positions to exercise lordship or exercise authority. There were going to be no positions like that. Rather, they were going to need to walk as Jesus walked. He didn't teach them to sit at the table and demand service. He said, "Yet I am among you as one who serves." And they needed to learn the same lesson and become the same person. Listen to me. It is so easy to live a selfish life. It's so easy to give your full attention to what you think that you need. I mean, after all, we all have needs, right? All of us. There are things in our life that we need. We got to take care of. There are priorities. And so it's easy to get up and wake up and take care of what you need done. With that being your only focus for the day, that can be a happy existence. Just taking care of your business and enjoying the fruit of your labor. But listen to me, that can never be enough if you're committed to walking just as Christ walked. It can never be enough. We all have to be humble servants. I'm learning a whole new thing about that. I've shared that with you. Just taking care of my wife and with Parkinson's. It's a whole new thing. I can't just wake up and think, well, I got to go, you know, do my preacher thing. First, I got to do my husband thing. And that involves things I've never done before. I've cleaned up stuff I've never had to clean up before. I've taken on responsibilities I've never had to. Many, maybe most of you, maybe all of you have understand that. We have to be humble servants. We have a number of church members dealing with a variety of struggles. And all of this challenges every one of us. Okay, will I be an humble servant? This week, will I call them? Will I check on them? Will I offer to help them? It's so easy to live a selfish life. But our goal is to walk just as Jesus walked. Amen? What a challenge. May God bless us with the wisdom and the strength to walk just as He walked. But we got to quit considering taking care of our needs is enough. As humble servants, we're continually serving. This morning, if there's needs in your life, you need our prayers. Whatever your need might be, if you need to come forward, please come forward now. while we stand and sing.